What's up, weebs? Welcome to Weeaboots, the only contemporary anime review podcast here on Gigaboots. I'm your host, Anime Danime, and with me is Bob.
I'm starving.
Dr. Agro.
Eat a bug.
And Chris Wolfhart.
You are all forgiven.
This time we watched Delicious in Dungeon, or as it's known in Japan, Dungeon Meshi.
Also, as it's known in the West by everyone who doesn't work for a localization company.
Yeah, they fumbled that hard. It could have just been Delicious Dungeon. It did. The in ruins it.
Yeah, I actually really hate this title.
Yeah, it's awful.
Like, I didn't want to come in here and make it about that, but I really actually do hate Delicious in Dungeon. Anyway, that's right. We watched the new anime. That's based on a very new manga, very recent manga, right? Definitely hasn't been going for a little while here.
Definitely isn't over.
I like it when the animes are based on mangas that are over, though. That means that they can make a full thing.
Whoa.
It's true.
They won't, but they could.
They could.
But that's right. This is the adventure comedy fantasy with themes of cooking, dwarves, elves, food science, and monsters. Thank you, Anime News Network, for doing my job for me. But hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
Before we talk about this anime, which we watched six episodes of it. How much did our co-host watch? Chris, you first.
I watched five episodes, but I've also read most of the manga, and it doesn't deviate at all.
And Dr. Agro?
Yeah, I watched six episodes.
Before we get into talking about it, though, and expressing our thoughts and hopes for it going forward, Bob, who made this anime?
This is at Studio Trigger, you know, those guys that did Kill la Kill. We've covered them many times before. You can look back and see the many times we covered them.
It's Studio Trigger, you know.
We did that Weeaboomers Boomers on that one Studio Trigger thing, didn't we?
It wasn't technically Studio Trigger, but it was Studio Trigger.
We've covered several Gainax things.
Yes.
We've also done that, yeah. We have covered Fooly Cooly, have we not?
We have.
Yeah, including things we shouldn't have. When are you doing the new two seasons? Never.
Yeah, luckily it feels like no one's talking about them. We can pretend they didn't happen, right?
Oh, that's so nice.
But the director is Yoshihiro Miyajima, who directed, his only previous directing thing was SSSS Dinazenon, the movie, but not the series.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, not the series.
Yeah, he did a bunch of episode directing for different Studio Trigger things, like he did one episode for Dinazenon, and then a bunch of different Gridman episodes, Starling Franks, Brand New Animal, a bunch of things over there.
I won't hold doing a couple episodes of Darling and the Franks against him.
Right?
You gotta get work somehow, okay?
That was a series with diffuse fault.
Glad to be working. Glad to be working.
Hey, that series gave us power in Chainsaw Man. It can't be all that bad.
Huh.
Did that actually come before Power ended up in...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. In fact, I think Fujimoto may have even admitted to some people, yeah, I fucking liked her. I just turned her into a character in my thing.
That's rough. What if I took this character and made her like interesting at all?
Yeah, that's how you do it. You know, the SNK still calls Binimaru Polnareff internally sometimes.
And this is based on the manga from the original creator Ryoko Kui, who did mangas such as Terrarium and Drawer. And Seven Little Sons of the Dragon. I hadn't heard of these previously, have I, any of you?
I heard of Terrarium and Drawer.
No, I didn't even know that she had done things before that.
Mm-mm.
And I put this on here pretty late because I was surprised that the music composer for this show is Yasunori Mitsuda. Mm-hmm. So the guy who did Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross.
Yep. And she was really hype about that because she loves the opening of Chrono Cross.
It's a really hype song.
It is. I now will try and keep an ear out because I don't feel like the music really especially stood out in this show. Maybe I'm totally wrong.
While watching the show, I did think it completely nailed the exact music vibe it should be aiming for based on the setting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But no, at no point did you miss it cutting into something as hype as the opening to Chrono Cross.
Which does make me think of how an anime from, I think, last season or so had the composer who did, like, Tenshu, Way of the Samurai, and the original Rurouni Kenshin. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, known for that fusion, like modern music with traditional Japanese instruments. And they didn't do anything in their style at all for that show.
Oh.
And I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah. Understandable. Anyways, what do we think of this show? This sucks, right, Bob? You hated the anime, right?
It was just so bad.
Aggro, you agree it's dog shit, right?
Yeah, I'm a completely hollow person with no redeeming qualities.
That's great. Podcasts are usually filled with that type. Hey, Chris, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much does this suck?
Zero?
So, aren't you glad you get to watch this anime weekly as it comes out instead of months from now where it all gets dumped at the same time?
That's certainly strong.
I know that's generally your preference.
Yeah, like we ended up watching this all at once because I knew it was we were going to be recording something for us, so I didn't watch it week to week. But I definitely feel like I would prefer watching this week to week. This is one of those shows where there's not like an end goal that's super important. Like there is technically an end goal that's important.
Yeah, they're trying to do something.
Right, but it's much more like, oh yeah, this would be great to just sit down once a week and kind of relax with. Like yeah, it's not
like there's not a lot of narrative momentum. It is a lot more episodic.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, as of this week, being dumped unceremoniously on Netflix in one big chunk isn't the worst thing that can happen to an anime anymore.
Oh yeah?
Because the Kaiju number 8 anime is premiering on Twitter.
Oh. No.
What? It is being distributed through X.
Oh my god. I hate this.
Wow. Isn't there a 30 Rock joke about this, Aggro? I feel like in 30 Rock, they make a joke about how they filmed a normal television series and then cut it into 30-second bits to put on Twitter or something because that was the deal they signed.
Yeah, I think that was that arc where Jack was trying to tank NBC.
And just to be, and I am not joking, this is not a bit.
Oh, wow, we're there. We're there. Moments like this are why they say satire's dead.
Uh-huh.
You thought Netflix deleted JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 6? Nobody's gonna know what the fuck this is.
Yeah, no, that's not getting anyone's attention ever.
Oh, that's... But it could have so many retweets.
Uh-huh.
It could.
It won't, though.
It may not, but it could. Dang.
God, and I'm just like, are they going to just post whole episodes on Twitter?
Yeah.
That seems to be what they're going to do.
That's so insane.
How come they could post whole episodes on Twitter, but I can't?
You can. People don't fucking give a shit. That shit will stay up for days.
Like, do you have to have a blue check to watch the show, or?
I don't think so. I think Elon's just real stupid.
Yeah, no, this may be the best thing to happen to anime streaming ever. No, we need to support this. We need to trick that idiot into buying a shit ton of anime and just putting it on that website for free.
It's like that image macro people pass around where if Tim Sweeney paid for your game, that means you can pirate it guilt-free. He already paid the developer.
That is really smart. Jesus. Anyways, yeah, this anime is really good. I enjoyed it a lot. The comedy's on point. Lots of delicious food in it. I enjoy that this mangaka had to look at every monster in a video game and go, what if I ate them? And then that just gets to be a character in the show, too.
Yeah, the main guy, Leos, is kind of demented almost in his want to eat.
It is really nice in a series when you feel the click over from, oh, this was a neat idea we're exploring, to this is a pressure release valve on an obsession someone has had.
All the best shit comes out of that.
It's yet another, this walked so Frieren could run in the, this adventuring party, nobody is normal. Nobody's neurotypical at all. They're all ill in some way.
Which is great. I'm not interested in a medicated class of people going on a group trip through an adventure. That's not real for me. Anyways, do people have normal groups of friends out there?
No.
I have no idea what that's like.
I do love how, as far as this cast goes, like this is a set of character designs where you look at them and one, like, oh wow, that doesn't look like 15 other things coming out this season.
Uh-huh.
And two, you just You look at these freaks and you're like, this is going to be a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm upset that these episodes, like, I was promised some cat girl. That didn't happen. The, Twitter has promised me these things.
You go to Netflix.
I want my money back. I didn't get a cat girl.
You got to wait. You got to wait before you get the gold.
No.
I actually read the first few chapters of this manga like a couple of years ago. It was on the Crunchyroll manga app, which I think they discontinued. But I just, I'd heard about, like, I saw it while scrolling through, and I'm like, oh, wait, I saw an announcement that this is getting an anime. So I checked it out, and I got a few chapters in. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna need to see some of this shit in anime food vision, please, and thank you.
They at multiple different moments, chop up cabbage, and my brain goes, wow, weird, it's not a green gobstopper.
It turns out some the industry as a whole learned a lesson. They can't do one thing.
They sure did. They sure did learn. They cannot draw a green circle and go, this is cabbage. Yeah, I really do appreciate like all the different characters and the energy they bring to this. It's an incredibly complex cast of different perspectives on whether or not it is fucking sick and base to eat monsters.
It is fascinating in that in a lot of fantasy settings, like D&D prototypically, they draw a distinction between animals and monsters. They are different things that act differently in the world. And this one really only seems to draw that distinction in their behavior, like that animals are docile and monsters always attack.
Yeah, they've gone maverick.
Mm.
But then there's also a seemingly fuzzy line we might get even more into later about the difference between a monster, which seems to have some kind of intelligence, and a demi-human.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's worrying. Also, death means nothing in this world, almost.
It's about the dungeon. It's in the dungeon it means nothing.
Hmm.
There's something, they go over it. It's like, well, if you're in the dungeon, we can cast this bring you back to life spell, but if you're not, you're fucked.
Huh.
Weird.
Interesting. I was going to say, like, we've got a, you know, hand-wavy sort of fantasy archetype thing. I'm like, oh, yeah, somebody's casting Revive. But no, yeah, that's the thing about this, that it's a fantasy anime, not a I'm trapped in a video game isekai, which is just, please keep making those.
Yeah.
More and more.
Yeah, it's always relieving when we don't have to have, like, a set of video game systems that don't make sense in any real logical world.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually really funny because the author never played a game until after it was serialized.
Holy shit. That's good.
I think she said her first game was literally Legend of Grimrock, which is a PC game from not even that long ago. It was from 2012. But she said she did watch her dad play like Wizardry and Fire Emblem.
That'll do it.
Man, imagine where anime would be right now if her dad wasn't based.
She says, I didn't get to play because I misbehaved too much as a child.
Oh my God, Jesus.
It even shows up in like the dungeon itself being this abandoned kingdom where it's sort of just beneath the surface of the earth is the top of the highest tower of this abandoned magical kingdom. And you're just going down levels until like, what was it? The fourth level down is where you get to the flooded castle town back to the old ground level. Like that's compellingly cool shit.
Yeah. The dungeon's structured like a Dark Souls 2 level. Mm-hmm. Where it's like you go down and then you're inside a city.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of things try and do that, but don't have like, here's the map. Here's how this allegedly works, which helps.
Looking at this thing for the X premiere of anime, it says broadcast live. Will it just not be up after the broadcast ends?
Very possible. It might be in the broadcast section, not just the tweet.
I think the opposite is far more interesting. Of like, you want to watch that anime? It's on Twitter. Let me go get it for you. Broadcasting and then it disappearing. That's not interesting.
I mean, it is super grave though. Like no one will ever see it because you broadcasted it once.
It's okay. Elon just has to go in and retweet the anime and I'll rebroadcast it.
Welcome to our Twitter space for Kaiju number 8.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. That's what I'm worried about, how this will function like. Then they accidentally let Elon in, and he's like, hey, chat, I have some thoughts about this anime. Anyways, we didn't need to talk about this. Something I really like about this series, and a couple other series have been sort of figuring out, is there's a blonde elf.
That is on the rise, and they give her big ears.
True elf supremacy is returning.
Finally.
Like, elf ears are returning to the norm.
Finally.
Yeah, it was messed up, man. We had those weird little, like, Vulcan ears. Like, nah, that's not an elf. It's gotta go bigger.
So I got through the first episode before noticing it over and over again reminded me, oh, right, this anime is on Netflix. There aren't real subtitles. These are dub titles.
Uh-huh.
So yes. It's just not worth it, and I switched over to the dub, which is a fascinating lineup, I've got to say.
Mm.
Because, I mean, you've got Senshi is Prozidi. And then you've got Marcille is Emily Rudd, who is live-action Netflix One Piece Nami.
Yes. Which
did surprisingly well, I feel.
Yeah, I think her performance is good. I was really surprised by that because of my experience with the Resident Evil movie.
I don't know. I mean, she was fine in One Piece, but, you know, I didn't necessarily mean that would translate to voice actor.
Right, and that's the thing. I never expect the person who is actor translates to voice. Look, all I'm saying is nobody walked into Boy in the Blue Heron, and it was like, I bet Robert Pattinson's going to be cracked out and give one of the best performances of his career. Because they probably didn't know he was going to be in it. And then they could have watched the whole film and still not know.
That's true.
The one that really kicked me in the shin, though, was Laos. Because I spent a couple episodes going, okay, you can do this, aggro. You've heard this guy's voice before. What was it in?
Oh, after my a couple God. Episodes,
yeah. Damien C. Haas, who I only know as, oh, he's that guy from those Smosh videos YouTube keeps trying to show me.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
I have a whole new respect for him.
For the record, I watched it subbed because I want Sayori Hayami to tell me to kill myself.
Fair.
Fair.
In fact, when this goes up, I will quote tweet with that declaration.
Who does she voice?
Phelan.
Okay. That makes sense.
I feel bad for any dungeon masters who are, one, are going to now have to deal with their players trying to eat every monster they come up on. But even aside from that, that Senshi makes a flail with a jar of holy water. It's like, they're ghosts. They're incorporeal. It should work.
Oh, I thought it was going to be about him making the traps into a cooking instrument. Because that's equally deranged.
That too, but I feel like the holy water flail is the thing that somebody's going to get really invested in convincing the GM to let them do.
That is pretty brilliant.
Physically, it should just work.
I'm also sort of a huge fan of crustacean mimics.
Yeah, that was really interesting. Like, the mimics and also the living armor that was just a bunch of mollusks.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting take on it, which is always appreciated.
Right?
Because it's such a generic fantasy thing.
It is, like, even specifically for the purpose of slotting it into your tabletop game. Like, oh, well, I dispel magic. Yeah, it didn't work. What?
Yeah, that's another thing. Fucking, yeah, I know. It also gives the GM weapons in a similar way. It's like, well, this isn't a magic one of those, so you're fucked.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, some person's going to flip a mimic over and go, it's upside down, so I'm safe. It's like, yeah, that's not how they work, dude. Who told you that in anime?
Except this is going to be really popular, so it will probably feed back into actual tabletop games sooner rather than later.
Wait a second, is that how Mythos works? This is bullshit.
It's almost like culture works that way.
What? No way!
I'll be surprised. Somewhere there is some dickhead at Wizards of the Coast like, is it too soon to try and release like an addendum
about how you can eat monsters? How long should we wait before? How unlicensed, of course. So how long should we wait before we try and get that going?
Oh my God.
Without paying anyone involved.
Weird. We just happened to coincidentally have an entire rule book that's specifically about what the foods you can create for monsters need and what they might do for you.
I mean, honestly, that's one of the things that you do it. Print that shit. Because everybody who's ever DM'd knows their table's going to have that one player who wants to do something incredibly complex like that, that there is just no rule set for. And they will not take, what the fuck are you talking about, for an answer.
That sounds like a D&D player.
DMs should be glad that instead of trying to hire people to build the peasant rail cannon, they are just trying to cook a mimic.
Just like, haha, I engineered a way to overcome your problem. No, you engineered a way to give me a problem. You fucking asshole. Yeah, no, I hope that happens sooner rather than later. Speaking of feeding back into the culture, hey. It's about blonde elf girls. So why don't we have any AAA games right now, fantasy based? I'm just saying, with blonde elf girls. Just radical thing. Like, when I'm looking at Grand Blue Fantasy Relink, and that's the closest we've gotten in forever, something's fucking deeply sick about the game industry. Final Fantasy 17, I'm looking at you.
They're just afraid.
Oh, but this is a great time to bring up, in that interview that the author did the day we recorded this, she said what game she's most excited for that hasn't come out yet. And all you motherfuckers who made fun of us better respect, because it's Avowed, motherfuckers.
I was afraid it was going to be Judas.
I feel so vindicated.
Delicious.
I feel so vindicated.
Which means when it comes out and is bad, she'll also be hurt with us.
No! It can't be bad.
Sure.
They can't do this to us.
They can't take it away. Not after Elf Girl Supremacy is on the rocks. God, Marcille's design is so good.
It is.
It's so good. I love her hair. I love when she puts her hair up later. I love the fact that she's wearing pants. It's so fucking strong. She is. Her and Phelan. They're wearing pants. It's so good.
I just see the comment section now. He likes their design. Asked to describe it, says pants.
I like when she gets hit by the mandrake and goes doe-eyed.
Oh, yeah. No, that was good.
Oh, yeah.
That was unbelievably good. The voice actress also did a fantastic job. I loved that scene so fucking much. I was dying. That's me after a death streak. So she's like, how was too human?
I like how the moral of that episode was, do what's in the wizard book. The wizard book knows. Except the wizard book didn't think to just get a longer rope.
I know. God. Are wizards deranged?
Kill a dog? What is wrong with
that? It was easier to kill a dog. I could just summon another dog.
You know how
expensive rope is?
You open the book and it's like, how do I solve this problem? The book's like, feed me a stray cat.
It's so good how how main dude loves monsters. He loves the way they work. He loves learning about them. He appreciates the beauty, the complexity of the ecosystem and how they operate. But he's not a moron. And he, like, I know a lot about monsters. That means I know monsters are fucking dangerous.
Yeah, he doesn't spin the other way and is like, oh no, we can't go. I trust the monsters won't kill me.
He's not entirely a moron. I guess being a pervert is different from being a moron.
Also, it might not be the best idea to have taken that sword. We'll see. No, it's cool. It's been helpful once. Maybe I'll continue.
It's his buddy.
Yeah, it's going to lay eggs. It's going to lay eggs. It's going to wake up and like, DMs, are you paying attention? Biological cursed items. We're giving this shit away.
Oh, no. I feel like they need to end up cooking something that just goes horribly wrong more often. It happens a few times, but it could happen more.
Yeah, it could happen more often.
I assume we get the episode where it goes really wrong and Now we have to keep take care of this character as they're nearly dead.
Or they somehow cook it into more of a monster.
Oh. Yeah, this goo isn't reducing.
We made the cakes from Mario RPG.
Mario RPG, yeah, exactly. Where's Booster when you need him? Just eat the thing in one gulp.
You know, the Phantom Picture episode.
Mm-hmm.
There was actually an extra in the volume of the manga that sadly I don't think... Did they include it in the anime? I didn't watch that episode, so tell me if they did. Where Lyos is like, well, I'll solve the problem by drawing myself into the picture.
No.
Instead of going into it physically.
What?
No, they didn't do that.
And he draws a terrible little stick figure that gets sentience.
No.
That's really good.
And then they just leave it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That painting episode was honestly one of my favorite, just because that's... What the heck is going inside the painting world is so fascinating. It's like,
no, it's hilarious.
Like how I'm still convinced that somehow that one character that was following between all the different paintings is coming back.
Oh yeah. No, like she's in the intro. I was like, oh fuck. How do you get out and why?
Yeah, I don't actually remember anything. It was a long time that I it wasn't over when I read it. It was like 3 years ago, so I don't remember very much. So even I don't know. I'm like, I don't fucking remember.
Oh, I don't like this little stick figure him. Jesus.
Yeah, it's really good. It's existential horror.
I love that when this universe has to make a decision on how kobolds look, they come down hard on the side of dog people.
It's
yeah, that's brave.
He's chosen. Trone is such a cute dog. It's really weird.
It's so funny. I cracked up so hard at that.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that they had done that.
So good.
Wolf like it all? No. No, the cutest dog you've ever seen, but shoved in armor. It's very Undertale.
Yes, I was about to say, like, did she see the dogs from under... The armor dogs from Undertale before... No, I think that character probably showed up before Undertale was out.
Oh, because this is obviously really early still.
Yeah, and it started in 2014, and Undertale wasn't until 2015.
Yeah, the question is, was the armor dogs in the demo for Undertale? And would she have played it? Because I think they might be in the demo, but...
I don't think she'd have played... Because it wasn't in Japanese, she doesn't speak English.
Right. So that's what I was going to say, the likelihood of her playing it, even if it was in the demo, really low.
In fact, in that interview, she's like, thank you, Spike Chunsoft, for localizing Baldur's Gate 3 and Disco Elysium because my English isn't good enough to play those games in English.
So the question is Avowed going to be localized into Japanese?
I mean...
I assume it will be. I think Starfield was.
Starfield was, but Starfield also had more importance put on it. Maybe unjustifiably.
I don't know. Not localizing your shit into Japanese like feels... so ancient.
Oh, I get that.
Like that betrayal.
So where do pig orcs come from? Because like I know that's a very Japanese thing. Is that like a Dragon Quest thing?
Not really.
It's such a thing that's ingrained over there. I just thought it was normal.
I think it's actually from original D&D. I think a D&D original.
Oh yeah.
Book described them as porcine-esque.
Okay, because I was like, it's been going for since at least when Zelda started.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just something I've never tracked down.
And God, what are those dudes from Star Wars called? Because I bet that's where it started.
Gamorreans.
Yeah, Gamorreans. I'm willing to bet that's where it started, probably.
It's sad I couldn't remember them in the actual Star Wars, but I could only remember them in the fucking Masters of the Terrace Cussie. He has some really goofy name in that.
Grok? Something like that. I don't remember. He's the dude with the axe, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, yeah. You got the right thing.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah,
his name,
in the early editions of Dungeons & Dragons, they literally had pig heads. According to Gary Gygax, because orc rhymes with pork.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, my God.
That's so good.
And then, yes, in Dragon Quest, orcs are drawn as poor scenes.
Yeah, I just didn't think that was the origin point. Now we're talking Gary Gygax. It's like, it rhymes.
That's really good. I think that the pig orcs lead to way more interesting designs than Lord of the Ring orcs. Like, the pig orcs in this are really neat. And they have a set. They go in that direction for, like, Resurrect as a Slime, whatever that one's called. And I think that works pretty well.
That time I reincarnated as a slime, yeah. Top tier fantasy series. Everybody should watch that also.
Yeah, it's not as good as this, but it's just good stuff.
Yeah.
I did love how, when, like, they go to the orc village. I start thinking, like, oh, you know, they said they're not going to eat demi-humans, so I think we're safe. And then an orc child shows up. And for anyone who's played D&D long enough, you know that the existence of orc children is fraught with moral quandary.
Isn't that literally like an example of, like, yeah, if you want to destroy your players, just tell them what okay, you killed all the adults and you found the orc babies. What do you do with them?
Yep. That's how you start the alignment war. Somebody grabs the monster manual. Orc alignment, chaotic evil.
But not anymore. Monsters don't have alignments anymore.
Well, the intelligent ones don't, at least.
This is another time where I have to bring up the volume extras, because the volume extras for the orcs is Laios basically talking about, the orc is like, here are my three wives. Do they look ugly to you, human? And then Laios describes why he thinks they're not ugly, and he gets pissed because he's basically talking about how hot this orc's wives are.
Yeah.
So you feeling like a winner, bro?
No.
God, the kobolds. I can't get over the kobold. I also think it's funny that there's no distinction between the halflings and the, like, the humans aren't called humans. They're tallmen.
Mm.
I did not see that come up. That's interesting. They're still going with halflings have probably longer lives, though, because they go into, like, how old.
Yeah, because Chilchuck is 28 or 29.
Mm-hmm. They call him a half foot, which was interesting.
Halfmen, I think, is what they call halfmen. And then tallmen are the...
They use the term half foot in the dub.
Huh.
It honestly kind of reminds me of Xenoblade 3, where it's like, if they just use the term human, even though it's all these obviously different things.
Right. It's the humanoid category.
Yeah.
There's the cat girl. She's human. Oh, there's the robot. He's human. Oh, there's the person who's the manifestation of a sword. She's human. The girl with wings coming out of her head. Human.
In fact, in the dub, the orc, he uses the term body to refer to an ambiguous person.
Yeah.
Which is linguistically interesting. It's the kind of thing we don't have a lot of experience with, even in this genre of fantasy, because if you follow this lineage back to old school D&D, you run into some not by modern standards, thoughtful or nuanced takes on how to deal with non-human persons.
Hmm.
You mean somebody in the 70s wasn't politically correct? Oh my god.
Guess we all gotta stop playing D&D. It's done. It's
you mean a guy who, before inventing D&D, played fucking bait normal ass war games? wasn't politically correct? Oh my god.
I can't wait till I talk to the guys who do Warhammer at my local comic book shop about this. They're certainly going to be shocked.
You're going to walk in and be like, hey, Warhammer players, why are you strapping bombs to yourselves? Like, the Amazon show has a woman in it.
And I'm like, oh, I see why you would do that then. Well, I'm going to Starbucks. Do you want any coffee? Like, I'm just not even processing it.
It's not even a Marvel show. It's some random show on Amazon.
They gotta lower the bar.
Right?
They need to be angrier, faster, more all the time.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith? I don't know about this.
They're not like angry she's not hot enough. They're not angry that any number of other things. They're angry that there's a Mrs. Smith and Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Okay, guys, we solved it. Mr.
things that actually about
the turns. It turns into that fucking Simpsons bit where the aliens are like, abortions for all, boo. No abortions for anyone, boo. Abortions for some, no abortions for others, small American flags for all. And then everyone cheers.
Jesus. Oh, man. Yeah, this show, you know, like you were talking about with the forward narrative momentum, it really does just feel like it's a nice little break you get to take every week. It's a nice little treat.
Yeah,
you know, it's not, the episodes are so similarly structured and similarly resolved. It feels more like a ritual, an exercise, a nice little break you get to take.
Yeah, you go hang out with these dudes for 30 minutes a week.
Like me and my Warhammer guys. At the
Maybe you don't like them!
No, I think it's exactly the same.
Dude, these guys have some good vibes.
They tell me what Netflix shows are coming out and which ones are the good ones.
Eating bugs and discussing the moralities of how we treat subhumans.
See, I told you. Very similar. But yeah, it is interesting because most of the time when I really deeply fall in love with anime, it is because it has a really strong thematic vibe and also has a really good narrative it's driving forward. Whereas this, aesthetically, great. Narrative vibe question mark but it's the substance of it is just so delightful. It's such a great time to spend watching the show and figure out what horrible nightmare they're gonna do until the episode where they ate bugs, and that's where I drew the line.
Yeah, that was too much for Dan.
I was screaming a lot, actually. That was and I look forward to what other things they could eat. A beholder, and it would not get to me as much as how that went.
Yeah, because they had like little bug parts come out of all the coins, and then they're eating something that looks just like jewelry.
But it was actually millipede like thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's
It is great that, like, in the cast and even episode to episode, because of things like this, you get to pick your eye level character.
Right, and that's why the cast is so important in how they have the different perspectives on eating this shit.
Marcel's like, that's gross, and they're like explaining to her why it's not, and she's like, that's not how gross works.
Yes, it is an important moral standing she has here.
Right, and then things are just like a step too far for Chilchuck. Like, he'll be okay with most of it, but then just the bugs, nah, that was bad.
It's like, no, come on, man, come on.
I don't want to eat the mimic. I hate those things. Which is very different from Leos. Is like, oh man, my worst experience is with the armors. I want to eat them real bad.
Well, yeah, but when all of your roads lead to Rome, mentally, like with Leos, you know.
There is something to be said thematically for that, where, like, you know, these are people going down into the dungeon, into this weird dark other world populated by horrific monsters where death is somehow cheap and they're all just sort of numb to it, and there are nightmares down there beyond imagining, and they have decided that we are coming to eat them.
Yeah, because of the stakes of dying in a dungeon and how normalized death is, that specific angle of the tone of the show is very funny. That specific angle of, well, just leave the body hanging. Someone will find it.
Right. It's so, like, horrible and morbid in actuality, but in their world, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So who are the real monsters?
I figure that's the season-ending thing, right? Like, they just... Phelan gets rescued, but then they tell her what they've been doing, and she goes, who's the real monsters? And then they all go, oh, shit! And then season 2 premieres on X, on Twitter.
No!
I remember when I first read it, I didn't understand, oh, we have to get her before she's digested so we can resurrect the body. I assumed from a casual reading, like, oh, the dragon swallowed her whole, and we've got like 2 days before she runs out of air.
Yeah, I was also wondering that, because it could have been either, and I was like, well, I don't know.
Yeah, and then as we went farther and farther with the episode, how many corpses they found, it was like, oh, okay, that's what they're going for. They are still taking it very slowly.
Yeah, they are very casual about this rescue mission. They're like, well, we got to be sure to eat 3 meals a day. Take these little moments to go do a thing. I do appreciate them being like, you know, we'd be on the next floor by now if you weren't fucking around in these paintings. Genuinely, though, and this really is only tangentially related to this anime, I do wish we would get the game that is like, no, your body's just in that dungeon. You don't get to play. You better hope someone finds your fucking corpse.
Jesus.
You can roll a new character if you want.
I love the RPG mode of Air Geese.
Yeah!
It was like, this is... That feels like something that would have been done in a Dark Souls game by now.
Right. When we get an online Dark Souls game, uh-huh. like just an MMO or Dark Souls game, that's how it works.
I'm pretty sure there's Wizardry games that have that in it.
I just think when you're that afraid of death, it heightens all possible moments. When you spend every moment shit-ass terrified that things will go south, that makes every battle exciting. Anyways, let's go ahead and get to the recommendations and wrap this up. Hey, Bob, do you recommend this?
Yeah, it's a cool little thing to watch once a week.
How about you, Agro?
I do. Fantasy anime is back, baby.
Chris Wolfart?
Yeah, real good.
I also recommend it. It's really great. They have an elf. She's blonde. It's pretty great.
So you're saying Freerun should have been blonde?
I ain't complaining.
Okay.
White hair's blonde. Platinum blonde is blonde.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Okay.
I can make it work internally.
Blonde, white, silver, it doesn't matter. We just need more of these kind of elves out there because they inevitably lead to the return of dark elves.
Oh.
It's true.
Oh, Agro, I didn't realize that was your motivation.
I feel like it won't be long now before Deedlit shows up again.
Yeah, it feels inevitable.
What's the dark elf in fucking Record of Lodoss War?
If only we recorded a Record of Lodoss War podcast that we would all know.
That's right.
Pyrotest. That's right. It's Pyrotest.
I was just thinking like, yes, the dark elf from Record of Lodoss War, not the dark elf from Legend of Cristania.
Anyways, that's going to do it for this episode of Weeboots. Thank you for listening. We do a lot of gaming content, so check the rest of that out. If you haven't seen it, like a big thing to mention. Okay, goodbye.